Live on DAZN Worldwide, May 2nd and 3rd, Garcia versus Romero and Canelo versus Skull. Friday from 6 p.m. Eastern, Garcia returns in a history-making Times Square takeover. 24 hours later, Saturday from 7 p.m. Eastern, King Canelo faces undefeated Skull for the undisputed crown. May 2nd and 3rd, a knockout weekend of boxing. Pick one or go all in for only $90, exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com/boxing.
Good morning and welcome to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, pastor at St. Mary Magdalene Parish, serving the communities of the East End, Homewood, Point Breeze, Squirrel Hill, and Wilkinsburg sections of the city of Pittsburgh, and also the pastor at St. Benedict Moore Parish in the Hill District. We are diving into our faith this morning with two special guests experienced in leading others deeper on this journey of discovering Christ. This is sure to be a conversation filled with inspiration to help us grow in our faith, and most important, a journey that we will take in a lifetime. And before we get started, I want to thank our generous sponsors of Catholic Education Plus, Sam and Judy Spanos, and the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh. And joining us in studio is Judine Indoneva. She is the director of Catholic School Catechesis, and Dr. Tom Octave, who is the director for the Department of Lay Ministry in Formation. Judine and Tom, welcome this morning to Catholic Education Plus.
Thank you.
Thanks, Father.
We're happy to be here.
And Michelle Peduto, our superintendent of Catholic schools, will be with us in the second segment. The very heart of why we educate our children the way we do in our schools is to grow disciples and to create a community of disciples. It's no different how a family is called to operate in Christ on how our churches are called to be the body of Christ. But we need some help doing this. And the journey begins, of course, with education. Judine, this is a very important job. You are tasked with helping to transform our young minds and hearts. How is this done in our schools, and how do we grow up children in the faith and mature to deepen their faith with all that's going on in our society?
Oh, thank you, Father Tom. I appreciate that you framed it from the perspective of discipleship, because for so often, the mistake that we sometimes make, or we have made, informing children in the faith is to treat it as another subject, like information. You must learn this, memorize this, and regurgitate it back to me. And yes, there's value to that, but ultimately we want children to fall in love with Jesus and deeply commit their hearts to him, trust him with their lives, and that's a lifelong following of discipleship that you spoke about. And so you asked, how do we do that? There's many facets to how we form children. What we really want to go after is to help kind of implant within them what I might call anchors of faith. Like if you're a rock climber, you grab onto certain anchors to pull you up. And so we want to embed those anchors in the children so that throughout life they can cling to those and climb higher in becoming, rising to the full stature of Jesus Christ. So becoming another Jesus. So what are those anchors? It does begin basically with memory. So yes, we have to instruct and give children knowledge of the faith, but we have to lead them to ponder the faith and savor it, not just simply learn it. We have to build relationship with them and incorporate them into the community, because nobody is out here by themselves, and they need to see that God gave us a family and the family is his church. We need to help them to reflect deeply for themselves, to wonder, and finally surrender their hearts, and make that a practice of life, is continually turning to God and surrendering and leading to mission, which is the call to love and serve others in the particular way God gave them, and union. And what are the instruments for fostering these anchors? The content is the story of our faith, which we call salvation history, the teachings of our faith, which we call doctrine. There's experience, which is also an instrument of teaching the faith. So the liturgies, the sacraments, and prayer are also essential elements of forming others. Family life, parish life, school life, other people's examples and modeling the Christian life, correction, helping children to practice their faith, to experience what it's like to serve others, to love each other. and to give of themselves. And how do we know if we're succeeding? We look for certain hallmarks of spiritual exigency, which is like signs that they're getting it, which is peace, calm, wonder, a sense of loss of time. So those that work with children will experience that when you tell them the mystery of the faith, they will get lost in what you're saying, and joy, that effusive joy. So when we hit those markers, we know that we've got their sweet spot.
Absolutely. I want to bring Dr. Tom Octave in. We're going to be doing two segments with this, but Tom, can you give us a little perspective about your role in helping what Judine does in forming the catechesis and helping the parishes educate our young adults and young families and our children, of course?
Our work in our office really works with the parish staffs, and particularly in this first part of our work in this first year of the office, working with parish staffs to help create formative experiences for everybody who's on those staffs so that they can help to form the parents who are the first catechists and the primary catechists of our students in our schools and our students in faith formation. And so a lot of our work is working with everybody from business managers to musicians to directors of faith formation, everybody working together to find their way to help the parish to grow. And as the parish is that family of families, we see very clearly that their formation is so important as they assist families in forming their young people in the faith and creating a nurturing environment for them to experience the faith at Sunday Eucharist, which is the source and summit for all of parish life.
And actually, yeah, it starts at home. The families are, of course, the first educators, but then obviously the priests, the religious, and then the staff continue that. But we always emphasize, regardless if it's in Catholic schools or our religious ed programs or youth ministry, faith formation, young adults, catechesis, it always starts, of course, at home. But we also need to educate our families, too, so that they can practice that and pass that on. And Gene, you and I, we go way back. I know you have such a wealth of information in your experience in working in parishes. You oversee the faith formation for tens of thousands of students and with your background. And you also have a special focus on the formative impact of teaching salvation history. How does this process of faith formation progress from early childhood and then moving into the young adult teen years?
Okay, so I love Sophie Cavaletti, who founded the Catechesis of Good Shepherd, who took that particular approach to teaching the faith from Maria Montessori, which is a more commonly understood name. And Cavaletti used to say, you know, we don't impart relationship with God. Children come to us already in relationship with God from the moment they're created, because we're spiritual beings and where our hearts are have this God-sized hole for Him. And oftentimes people that work with little children will see these moments of profound, like, light about God, or they'll say profound things and you kind of scratch your head like, did they just say that? And it's there, it's a flash, and then it's gone. So Cavaletti used to call the young child the metaphysical child, because their capacity, they have a sense of wonder about the big questions of life. And in that stage, Maria would break that stage from 0 to 6. She'd call that the absorbent mind period. So they kind of learn by osmosis, and their goal is so that they can do it for themselves. So how does all of that tie into teaching the faith? Well, first of all, respect the fact that they can be profound, that they have a huge religious potential. But it's kind of like what they teach for little children that are in gym class. It's like they have high energy, but in short spurts. So they might be really profound and say something amazing, and then be laughing and being silly the next moment. The second plane we would call is the reasoning mind, and that's from age 6 to 12. And that is when a child is driven towards mental independence. So unlike the littler child, they want to think for themselves. So in faith formation, that's when we start to teach them church doctrines and the Ten Commandments. They do enjoy rules at that age, and as long as it's tempered with love, it can be a very exciting experience for them to learn all the details of what we believe as Catholics. Adolescence is critical thinking and evaluation, and they're driven towards finding their place in the world and relationship. So we all know that that's very important, that one-on-one experience, mentoring by adults that they trust, having the opportunity to speak to each other from the heart and knowing that they are safe with each other. And finally, leading to maturity when we integrate all of that. So it's a lifelong process. The truths of the faith are the same for all, but how we apply it is a little different per age.
And it's a work in progress. So obviously, you can take these tools, obviously, a toolkit, and there's no cookie cutter approach to it, but then you can implement that. And obviously, each parish, each family, each program.
The catechism says catechesis is both systematic and organic. The teaching and delivery of the faith teachings, but then there's the life in growing into the faith through life, through family, through community, and the individuality comes out there especially.
And you plant the seed and watch it grow, right?
Exactly.
Being organic. Well, we have lots more to talk about. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Catholic Education Plus with Father Tom Burke here on KDK Radio. Welcome back to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, pastor at St. Mary Magdalene Parish in the East End and St. Benedict de Moore Parish in the Hill District, and we are continuing our walk on a journey of faith this morning. How does it all begin at the seed level, and how does faith grow and flourish until the finish line with hope and glory? And we are talking to our Catholic School Catechesis Director, Judine Indoneva, and Dr. Tom Octave, the Director of Department for Lay Ministry and Formation, this morning. And I also welcome to segment two our Superintendent of Catholic Schools, Michelle Peduto. Tom, your role as you serve the parishes, the pastors, and all those who evangelize and outreach, as well as those who handle the business operations in our churches, how does helping others fulfill what is essentially their baptismal call look like in your new role?
Well, it's an exciting one, and I think Bishop Zubik has done a great job in his new pastoral letter, The Church Forward, to outline his vision for what lay ministry and what he's calling for our diocese and our church as we celebrate this 180th year benchmark to keep moving forward, to call forth the gifts and the talents of the laity to serve the church. And it's not just the clergy by themselves, but it's us working together as one body in Christ. And so we're going through this time of Eucharistic revival. It's important for us as a local church to really build upon that heritage of the Eucharist being the center and the source and summit for all that we do. But in that, we're all called to live fully our baptismal call. And so when people step forward to work in our parishes, it's important that they receive the formation they need to do the roles that they're tasked to do to support the role of the pastor and the clergy team and the needs of the parish. And so our office is looking at triaging in that way. What are the current needs as we see them come up day to day? And we work closely with Dr. Linda Ritzer and her team in parish services to do that, so that we're really boots on the ground trying to provide those experiences. And Bishop Zubik in the letter really emphasizes this idea that he is committed to the work of the laity and calling forth the gifts of the laity to serve the kingdom and the message of the gospel.
And I want to say kudos to you on your new role in the diocese. And you've been to my parish several times helping with my staff. My pastoral associate, Melissa Viator, really looks up to you as a good guide. And I think you're going to do tremendously well in helping our staffs and our parishes move forward in this new role. And you just bring a wealth of knowledge and fresh air, and you have so many gifts and talents too. You're a wonderful singer too. You're a great cantor.
Sometimes these things happen.
Yeah, and a great musician.
You get to do different things, so you know.
Many gifts and talents. That's great. And I also want to share, Dr. Tom, that there's exciting new opportunities for those who want to revitalize and awaken their faith with a new ministry lay certificate for our office and parish staffs. Can you tell us a little bit more about this wonderful new new opportunity.
So it's a great, exciting partnership between the McGrath Institute for Church Life at Notre Dame University and the Diocese of Pittsburgh. And we've created a certificate program with McGrath to serve those who are in part-time and full-time ministerial roles in our parishes. And so for us, this is exciting because we're piloting the certificate program with McGrath. And in doing that, we're the first diocese in the country to partner with them, and they're creating this for us. And we're basing the curriculum on the four pillar documents of the Second Vatican Council, which really emphasizes Pope Francis's initiative that the Vatican II documents are really the guiding pillars for our formation and understanding our place in the church. And so Tim O'Malley, who's the director of the McGrath Institute, is working hard with his faculty to bring in-person faculty here to Pittsburgh, along with an online component and some work with the Institute for Ministry Formation at St. Vincent at the seminary there. We're going to provide human and spiritual formative experiences. And we have a cohort of about 40 folks from our parishes, part-time and full-time employees, who will participate in this program beginning in September. So it's a very exciting time. And, you know, anything that's new comes with all that excitement, and we will see how it all goes. But we know that the folks who are signed up are excited, and the idea of doing this together and how this interfaces with the pastors and the parishes, it's a really exciting time for our diocese as we move forward with Bishop's vision.
And as a pastor, I'm just so thrilled that there's new things for our staff and administrators to enhance the programs. And now that we are moving forward, as the great pastoral letter Bishop introduced to us a few weeks ago, moving forward after the On Mission for the Church Alive process and reorganization, time to really get to work now and move forward. So I'm really excited. I'm familiar with the McGrath Institute and Notre Dame University, going there several times with youth ministry and Notre Dame Vision, summer camps. Just a wonderful, wonderful program that Tim O'Malley does. And kudos to the bishop and your staff for bringing this in to help our parishioners with that. I want to bring Judine back in just for some final thoughts going into the new school year. We're up and running with the school and our religious ed programs for the opportunity for the new year. What are some final thoughts for you, Judine?
So I love the image from the Psalms of the man who's planted, like the man who fears the Lord is like a tree planted near running water. When he's old, his leaves never fade, still full of life, still green. And so I just want to encourage all of your listeners, our families, our children, to turn to the sources of life. And where do we tap into that life or that grace of God? It's through the sacraments. They are abiding presence to us in every major milestone of life, but in the day-to-day. And so we're so blessed to have our Catholic schools that can facilitate the sacramental preparation for our children and the reception, even weekly, of Mass and frequent reception of confession. And for those that are in the parishes to plug in, it's not a small thing. I mean, just think of my dad, and I'll end with this, but he lived a long, holy life, and the backbone of his life were the sacraments. Mm. And when he went to the Lord, that was the most important thing, and he died a saintly, joyful, beautiful life. So
that's beautiful. That's great.
You know, be like him. He was still full of sap, still green.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And our superintendent, she always gets the last word. Your final thoughts, Michelle, on this new school year? 2 minutes.
Well, I'll tell you, listening to these two today, Tom and Judine, we are so blessed to have them leading in a leadership capacity in our diocese. We are also so blessed with the laity that we have out there that works so hard for our parishes. 180 years of the Catholic faith in this area, in the church. And we are blessed with our teachers. I think the peace with the diocese and the leadership teams, we're here to bring our people together, to work together, to provide this source of unity for all our people. That is the bishop's vision. It's every bishop's vision, unity of the faithful. And we are all walking on the same path. We are walking toward those eternal that eternity, toward our life in the beautiful and unimaginable kingdom of heaven. And so we want to do this together, and we do it together. And I just feel humbled and privileged to be in the presence of two such faith-filled people who have the capacity to fulfill the bishop's vision.
And such wonderful resources that are available now the diocese is providing for the parishes. And I'm really, really deeply grateful for our leadership here with the diocesan staff, the resources to help our pastors, the administrators, and the support staff out there. And, you know, we're all in this together. And going back to the first segment, talking about that organic growing, you know, you plant that seed and then you watch it grow. And it's a continuous cultivation. You got to keep rotating that soil and keep loving and nurturing, and then it can grow into bigger and better things. So I'm really hopeful for that.
And thank God for our clergy.
Thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah. Jadine Indovina, Tom Octave, and Michelle Peduto, thanks for being with us this morning. We'll be back for the Plus segment. You're listening to Catholic Education Plus with Father Tom Burke here on KDK Radio. This week in our Plus segment, we are featuring the 23rd Sunday in Ordinary Time in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus gives instructions for navigating conflict and correcting those who sin. Even the early church experienced internal and external conflicts 2,000 years ago. The first step for an offended person is to go directly to that offender and try to settle that issue privately or a loving matter to the community. And the goal is reconciliation, not punishment. And our world is full of violence and natural disasters, drugs, alcohol, violence in our streets. And God points out his reconciliation upon people everywhere. So let's leave our divisions at the altar of our Lord, and may the sacred presence renew our desire to live in peace. And there's so much division and hatred and conflicts in our families, in our communities, in our nation, and conflicts in our world. And we are called to forgive. And by words and our actions, we really can experience the freedom. And as we are reflecting on September 11th, this coming week, obviously a time for our nation to pause and mourn, reflect, and remember, and reconcile, let's look at what are causing our own differences and difficulties and divisions, and let's seek out peace, healing, and reconciliation. And thank you for listening to Catholic Education Plus with Father Tom Burke here on KDK Radio.